X. The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
Coming to you live and direct from my subterranean lair, my name is Ra, and I'm here to awaken the dormant particles that are spiraling inside your DNA. So come with me as we go further down the mystical spiral of life. It's Spiral Radio, the mystical spiral radio where each and every week we are unveiling the different shades of you and the different shades of me. Until we are all vibrating the same frequency. It's an amazing Virgo moon tonight. And we have the one and only Peter Kling. Peter has amazing history. His family has a 500-year history of standing for truth. He has had many experiences as himself. He's an author. He's, has had prophetic visions throughout his whole life. And it's really an honor and a joy to have him with us. And it's going to be a quick hour, I'm sure, but it's going to be amazing to see what we can uncover and reveal for everyone. And I want to welcome to Spiral Radio, hopefully one of many times, the great Peter Kling. Peter, welcome.
Well, thank you very much, Ra. It's a pleasure being here, and what a nice introduction. I certainly do appreciate that.
Yeah, something drew me to you. I wasn't really familiar with a lot of your work, but I saw your face on Facebook, and something like drew me to you right away. And I was like, I saw that you were a guest on many other shows, and I was like, all right, let me ask him on. I just had a good intuition about you. And I don't like to listen to a lot of other radio show interviews because when I'm having a guest on, because I don't want it to like influence what I'm going to talk to the guest about. So, I have probably a lot of stuff, hopefully, that you haven't really touched on too much, but, it's endless because I really feel like the more I learn, the more I realize I don't know too much, you know?
I know exactly what you mean. I coined a little phrase, the more I know I don't know, you know?
Yeah.
So, yes, it's like the learning is endless, and I started my learning at a very early age where I was being taught biblical scripture, not religion. There's a big difference. I was learning prophecy and history. As a matter of fact, I was forbidden to get involved with any religion here on this planet or get involved in politics in any way. So I grew up with a totally different paradigm of learning the scriptures.
Wow.
It was at 9 years old, as we had discussed earlier, that I had seen, I saw something that really wouldn't have been all that far-fetched or out of place considering the time of year, but I saw it in a dream about a week or so before the actual live event. And when I saw the live event, the only thing that was different is that I had crossed the street, or I was actually in the process of crossing the street when everything started to come true.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, cool. And so here I am in the same exact place and time as it was my job to walk the dog. And so on my way home, I had come to this little intersection. It was kind of like a little back alley, a little bit more than an alley. It was a small road. And as I approached that, there was a street light there. And walking up out of the shadows was three men. One was dressed like, now this is 1965, and one was dressed like a hippie, you know, poncho, long hair, beard, blown out, blue jeans, sandals. This is November 29th, 1965. I can still tell you the day.
Wow. And, you know what? That's when my parents got married on the 27th of that same year. It's weird.
Interesting. Well, that's a significant year. But anyway, the second person looked like he just came out of an Errol Flynn Robin Hood movie. Seriously, he looked like he could have been one of Robin Hood's merry men. Even had the little hat with a feather in it, and the whole getup. And the third guy was dressed like Jack Frost. He had a cape on, red scarf, white shirt, stovepipe hat, and really shiny shoes. And that's exactly what I...
Late for Halloween, huh?
Well, no, it was the 29th, so I figured, you know, it would make sense that these guys would probably go into a Halloween costume party or something, you know, regardless. But, you know, and I was really in no danger. I had the dog was a trained guard dog, and my dad had him imported from Germany because he had a business.
German Shepherds, they're amazing dogs. Yeah, I had them growing up as well.
So I held on to that dog's collar, and we ran home as those men walked into the night. And I remember I ran up the stairs into the house. My mom was washing the dishes. It was about 9:15, and I was all out of breath because I had run 2 blocks, you know, almost 3 blocks to get home. And I was like, Ma, I just had a dream that came true. And she said, well, that's nice, honey. It's time for you to go to bed now. And it's like, what? And it was that caused the paradox. That caused the paradox in my life where I remember laying there lamenting the whole thing in bed. And I already knew by 9 years old, I had 5 years of biblical history in my head. And I'm thinking of, you know, the prophet Samuel, and he started off at 5 years old. His mom brought him to the temple, and he started prophesying at the age of 8. And I'm thinking, you know, I don't have any answers, and, you know, and I got sent to bed for this, and what am I going to do? How am I going to understand how to do this, how this works? How can I do it again? And so the only thing that I had at my disposal was to turn to science, and that's what I did. I turned to science. I started to learn chemistry at the age of 10. I had a chemistry set, you know, my first chemistry set. And then I just basically kept on upgrading and learning more and more. And so I was working in one of the best laboratories in the United States. So I always had this fascination with biology and chemistry both. And so I went back down both those paths to try to get my answers, but I didn't get any. You know, there wasn't any real answers that I could understand. And it was like, how could I see the future? And these things kept on happening to me. I kept on seeing future events.
Wow.
And then it switched. As I got older, it would change. The way that I would see these things would change. If I, throughout my middle teens, if I had the same dream 3 days in a row, and it didn't have to be the exact same dream, but the same subject matter, that would happen to whomever I was dreaming it about. Then I started seeing things quicker. But it wasn't until 1978 that I actually, somebody told me about this class. It was a fantastic class. It's really about the only thing I endorse. It's now called the Silva Ultramind class. It was developed by a gentleman by the name of Jose Silva, who studied the work of Edgar Cayce and then explained what Edgar Cayce did scientifically and developed a class around it. He focused on how our brain actually works, how our consciousness works. And so essentially what I did was take that and apply those sciences, and that started to open up a lot of things because there were no classes in metaphysics back then. Yeah. Metaphysics was virtually an unknown word. And here, all of a sudden, there's a class, and it was, It was just being cool.
They had theosophy, right? I mean, you could consider that kind of metaphysics.
Yeah, but this was something that dealt strictly with metaphysics and how to deal with the interdimensional world.
Yeah.
Now, this is also before something very important, which is string theory.
Huh.
But the thing that was the key to me was, and I mentioned this to you earlier as well, is that I was working in the laboratory, was working on a batch, and it was in process, so I had some time, and I was reading the book of Job, the 38th chapter, and I get to the 22nd verse, and Yahweh asked Job, "Have you seen my storehouses of snow, which I have saved in the day of distress, for the day of distress and war?" And I'm thinking, what did Job know about ice and snow? He lived in the far Middle East, probably somewhere in, you know, eastern Iran, what most calculations are. So even if it was lush and tropical, he didn't see any snow. So I thought, okay, well, let's go see what Job saw. So I went into a state of meditation, went down into where the brain is actually vibrating in theta. And I put myself like almost as if I was going into the body of Job. And I opened Job's eyes, opened my mind's eye, and I looked around to see what Job would see. And all I could see through Job's eyes were the mountaintops that had snow. And I thought, this couldn't possibly be those storehouses of ice and snow. And you know, there wasn't enough there. So what I started to do was to elevate myself above the planet, as if I was traveling into out of space.
You were doing it. Yeah, you were in your astral travels. Yeah.
Yeah, and so now I'm looking at the Earth as I'm getting further and further away, and then I felt so stupid. It was like, it's the poles. It's the poles that are the storehouses of ice.
Yep.
And boy, you know what? When I saw it, I knew automatically, and I thought, okay, well, what do we do with the poles? We can either create more ice or we can melt it. And I thought, if we melt the ice, that would change the physical mass of the Earth. In other words, we would be taking weight from the poles and shifting
it. When you see that the Earth is rotating, you realize that from pole to pole, it could be hollow, and that Agartha or some kind of inner Earth is probably there.
Well, I really used to have an issue with that. You know, being a scientist, you grow up learning what academia teaches you.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. But now, however, that being said, whenever you say however or but, it cancels out everything else you just said. It really does. There's a video out that's on YouTube. It's a sphere of water in microgravity. And I do not subscribe to a flat Earth. It's physically impossible, regardless of what anybody tells you.
Yeah.
They have no explanation other than it's a lie.
He figured this out thousands and thousands of years ago.
How did the Earth get flat all of a sudden? Well, there's a whole other answer to that, and it has to do with aliens, believe it or not.
Yeah, I will never do a show on flat Earth, ever.
Yeah. But here's the thing about this. You know, I'm watching this micro. It's a bubble of water, maybe a little bit bigger than an inch, you know, in diameter. But they have it actually spinning, and it's one of the experiments that they did at the space station. And so there is a minute amount of gravity. You know, the Earth's, you know, kind of keeps everything where it is, so it doesn't let it get away. But here's this sphere of water just spinning around, and they stuck in like a little Alka-Seltzer tablet into the sphere of water, and it created just enough bubbles to where those bubbles actually, from being all throughout the sphere, started to coalesce along the axis.
The poles, yeah.
And I'm looking at this and I'm saying, okay, well, that's the model. If we take fractal science then equate it to our planet here, then it is possible that the Earth could be hollow from pole to pole. Not hollow like, you know, the inside of a bowl, but hollow like a tube, which would go from one end of the pole to the other.
Yes.
Based on the model and fractal science, I can't deny that anymore. So, you know... But once you start learning the sciences, then you start to comprehend the full story of the Bible, and you don't need religion. Religion is nothing but turning around and poking somebody in the eyes with a bunch of lies And you know, it's interesting what you said about awakening people's DNA. I found this out just a little over a year ago that my family, back exactly 500 years ago, helped start the Reformation against the church. Yeah. And it wasn't that to form a new religion. It was to expose the lies of the church and to teach the truth. We actually were one of several families that hid Martin Luther during the time that he was translating the Bible from Latin into German, which was then printed on the Gutenberg Press, and is now the most expensive Bible in the world, if you have a copy. I forgot how many millions of dollars the last, I think it was $2 million, the last one that went off for auction, and that was a couple of years ago. But that's an expensive read. The question is that Bible changing too? it's been called the Mandela effect, but in some Bibles, it seems like the King James Version of the Bible is changing faster than any other, or more than any other. But the classic verse is Isaiah 11:6, where it used to read, the lion shall lay down with the lamb, and now it reads, the wolf shall lay down with the lamb. And it's interesting, when you go on to Google and look at Google Images, wherever, all you do is you type in Isaiah 11:6 and go to Google Images, and almost all of the pictures where it's quoted will show you a lion laying with a lamb, and it will read, the wolf laying with the lamb. It's like, wait a minute, what's going on here? You know, yeah. So we live in interesting times, to say the least. And, you know, the things that we remember and we look back at, I was sitting amongst probably about 100 biblical scholars. I'm thinking they're self-proclaimed biblical scholars because they were actually reading that verse. And when they got when they read Isaiah 11:6 and it said wolf, I was like, what, wolf? And I looked up, and I literally was looking around the room, and everybody else is just reading, following along, and I'm like, nobody else has noticed this? Huh.
Yeah.
How awake are these people?
Did you have some kind of alien abduction or experience, like around your 20 years old, around there?
Actually, shortly after my 18th birthday, and this is quite amazing.
Because that's what I'm feeling.
There's a part B.
I felt like that when I was trying to read you before. I felt like that you had some kind of experience.
Yeah, I can't really say I was abducted, but it was an experience, I'll tell you that. Abducted would indicate that that you refused to go. They took you beyond against your will, and I went willingly. So that there is a difference. But how this all started off, I was in my bedroom. It was the end of May, beginning of June, 1974. It was my graduating year of high school. And there's a part B to this story, but I'll abbreviate the part A. Anyway, I was sleeping, and all of a sudden something, I heard somebody say, look, the prince arrives. And I popped up out of bed, and here's this figure that's in my room that he's not solid, but almost kind of solid, you know, semi-transparent. And I look out my window, and there's flashing lights outside my window. Now, I live in the mountains in North Carolina, and there's no roads out behind the house. But there's flashing lights out there. So I get up, and I ran to the window, and I look outside, and I see what appears to be, or what looks like, a golden chariot with golden horses molded right in it. It was like a landing craft. And here is this person, very human looking, and has a crown and dark beard and a cape, and he's landing this thing. And what woke me up is whatever was in my room said, look, the prince arrives, and now I'm seeing this craft come down with a princely type figure, only it's landing on the other side of the house. So I run around to look out the other window, and there's nothing there. And now I'm like, wait a minute, what's going on here?
You want to hear something? I feel like that was some being's Merkaba, their transportation device between realms.
Well, I went back to sleep, and then next thing I knew shortly after I was back to sleep is that I was taken to meet the prince. And whoa. I wasn't taken to some spaceship. I was taken underground.
Whoa.
And it's interesting. Everybody there wore robes. I was the only one that was still dressed in my, surface clothes, if you want to call them that. They all wore like a monk's robe, but very, very nice material, very modern material. The closest thing that we had to it at the time was Kiana, which, if you're from the disco area in the era of the 70s, you know what Kiana is.
That might have been the Grigori.
It was a very silky feeling shirt that they would print absolutely fantastic things on. I mean, really, a good disco shirt was a piece of artwork, but that was back in the 70s. Seriously.
Yeah, I know. I've seen them.
But it was the same material, it felt like, but it was much heavier. On a subsequent visit, I was required to also wear one of these robes. Now, it was always hoods up, so all you could see is their faces. They're very human-looking, a little bit taller than what we were, both male and female. As a matter of fact, I took an interest in the prince's daughter, and that got me in trouble. not that anything happened, but I got away from my guide, and I shouldn't have snuck away. And so there I was permanently assigned. I can only be with my guide. I had to stay with him at all times.
When they spoke to you, was it a knowing? Was it through your mind? Like you looked in their eyes and you just knew, or was it verbal?
No, there was never any. It was actually verbal, but it wasn't verbal as we speak. It sounded just like English and very, very familiar to my ears. But it was also a mind communication as well. Yeah. So it wasn't just words. It's like you had a complete understanding of what was being said. You had a knowing. You weren't just hearing somebody speak. You were knowing.
Yes.
Exactly. And I started to become suspicious of them because it was never explained. I did meet the prince and I was he was told who I was and that was the end of it. And nothing really more came of that. As far as the quote royal family, but I was confused as who the prince was, and I was constantly listening, and I never heard any verbiage or any comments or anything that would go back to any of my biblical teachings to indicate that these are the good guys. And when I became suspicious of them, one time we were all in a large room.
How many times did you have contact with these beings?
Four or five times. I honestly don't remember whether it was four or fifth.
Over a span of how long?
About a week.
Wow.
Yeah. It was like every night, every other night. Jeez. And it gets better. When it ended, I was with my friend, my guide here. We were standing toward the back, as a matter of fact, at the very back of this room. It was kind of, I don't know if you've ever been like to a chamber of commerce meeting or, a large cocktail party. There weren't any drinks there. There was just, everybody was socializing there, and I was just observing more or less. And one of them got up in front of the room, and he said, "Can I have everyone's attention, please?" And so everybody was quiet and facing the front of the room. He had my total attention, and he said, "We need someone to kill Peter Kling." That my jaw dropped, my eyes popped out of my head, and I looked at my guide and I said, "Why do they want to kill me?" and totally without feeling, he just said, "Because you crossed the line." Whoa. And I was like, "What line did I cross?" I didn't know that I had broken some whatever it was. And one of them toward the front said, "I'll do it." And so there starts, and that was pretty much that.
Was there cheering? Like when he agreed, was there like cheering in the background or any kind of response?
Not at all. Everything was very non-emotional. Everything was very non-emotional, very, very matter of fact. We need someone to kill Peter Kling. This guy, this one of them volunteers. I couldn't even see his face. And it was always hoods up all the time. And I don't know if you know who Karen Udes is or Udes is, but she's associated with
the World Bank. So you were basically a sacrifice.
This whole thing was a recruiting effort, And when I became suspicious of them, that's what it was in crossing the line. And the reason, how many people say that they channel aliens?
Yeah, no, I hear you.
Now, here's somebody with my background, which I wasn't aware of at this time, but now I had, was quite well aware of my biblical education. And so if they could have turned me in order to channel for them, my outcome would have been totally different.
Yeah.
You know, but I stood fast to my education. And so, but here's the thing. That was the beginning of June. In the first half of July, I was in a motorcycle accident that should have killed me. And then in September, I just bought a car 22 hours before, lost the left front tire off of it and rolled it down a riverbank. That should have killed me too, but it didn't. I walked away unscathed from both of those. And it's led to, it created one heck of a rebel personality in a teenager at that age that aliens can't get me now, can they?
Yeah. You know, I feel that around 1987 that a shift started to happen on our planet that ended in 2012, and now some kind of new Earth is arising. And if we don't spiritually evolve with it, we're going to get like lost in the dust.
You are 100% correct. And let's take a look at this. You know, enough about my background here, but let's take a look at where we are, because once we have the sciences, we can start to put everything together, which is in the scripture. And then we can start to get a vision into the future.
Yeah.
And, you know, you have good information. It's like good information in, good information out. And so what I started to do, you know, after I saw that the ice caps and understood that if they melted, they would turn around and change the mass of Earth, which would start setting off biblical prophecies like earthquakes in one place after another. But here's the thing. This was 1980, 10 years before global warming became. I knew that the ice caps were going to melt because of something that was written 3,500 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah, I even feel that there might be an ice age coming even.
Well, a mini
ice age.
We see unusual weather. We see crazy weather. Yeah. And now there's a lot that's coming out about Antarctica that I already know about what's going on up in the Arctic Circle. But now, you know, what information is being released is like, oh, well, we're finding green subtropical vegetation, which has been flash frozen. Oh, what happens? They just went your ice age, didn't it? What would cause a flash freeze? Something like a global flood? We have an extreme temperature inversion? Yeah. Uh-huh. So all your science just got shot right in the behind. But it matches up with biblical scripture. And here's the thing. I started looking I took my scientific knowledge, and I went right back to Genesis 1:1, and I said, okay, so let's start looking for scientific answers. This is 1980. The only thing we knew for sure in 1980 was genetic engineering, which is quite interesting, because when you get to Genesis, the second chapter, verses 21 through 23, it says, it's not good that the man's alone. I'm going to create a helper for him. So what happens? He causes a sleep to come over the man. He opens up the flesh. He removes a rib. He closes the flesh.
And he proceeds.
He proceeds to make a woman out of the rib, and he brings her before the man, and the man says, at last, this is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. This one was taken from man. I shall call her woman, and you have the first record of genetic engineering. Now we can go back to the Cambrian period, when all of a sudden there's an explosion of life on this planet, and scientists cannot understand why. They say, oh, well, life, the oxygen levels got above 23.5%, and there was a spontaneous combustion of life. Really, where did all the DNA come from? Because there was more varieties of life during the Cambrian era that have ever existed here on this planet since.
Yeah.
We have only had extinction level events since the Cambrian period. That's why we find 6-foot mollusks upside of Mount Everest and down in the up above, you know, 16,000 feet up on the side of the mountain. Oh yeah, how did they get there? Maybe the Earth got squished and they pushed them up. You know, once upon a time, the Earth was more than likely a water world, and this would coincide with some of our as far as it could have been an ice planet at one time, too. And because of geothermal situations, the ice melted. Hey, could very possibly be, but that would indicate that if at all, it all was water, which matches up with the different ways that and when we look at the process that it would take to create a planet, it is exactly all, what it's recorded in Genesis, the first chapter. But the question is, who were the genetic engineers? You see,
we got to go to break too, Peter. We'll pick this right back up when we get back. And everybody, sure. We are with the great Peter Kling. You can find him at peterkling.com. That's PeterKling.com. And you can find me, Ra, at themysticalspiral.com. This song is called The Carrot Lie by Analog Driver. And we'll be back right after this and Spiral Out.
Thanks for making Para-X part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal, Para-X.
And we're back, and that was called The Carrot Lie by Analog Driver. And we are with the one and only Peter Kling, which you can find at peterkling.com. And you can find me at themysticalspiral.com, and on YouTube, I do pretty much daily videos at Exploring the Ka with host Ra Castaldo. And, you know, Peter, I really feel that, you know, basically about 300, well, not, I can't really say the time frame for sure, but maybe possibly like 300,000 years ago, our Gaia or our planet was basically hijacked by dark forces or otherworldly entities that have been controlling us. And you see, when we're put into a state of fear and control, and fear takes root in the mind and gets implanted in our minds and in our consciousness and psyche, it becomes like a boogeyman on our soul, you know, and it clings to us, you know. And
yeah, but it wasn't that long ago.
Yeah,
but let's take a look. Let's pick this up where I left off. Who are the genetic engineers? We know by the five. You see, here's the thing. Darwin came out with a theory of evolution. The reason why he came out with a theory of evolution is because he didn't know anything about genetic engineering. We didn't understand genetic engineering until we discovered DNA until 1955. Interesting, the same year I was conceived. And the sciences that we need to understand and start to comprehend what's written in the scriptures only started to be developed 1955. What takes us, I'm going to tie one other thing in first. We didn't have the next quantum leap in science. Really, I mean, a really true quantum leap in science from genetic engineering till the late 1990s when we got string theory.
Yeah.
String theory explains very simply that all matter is made up by vibrating energy. At the core of the atomic structure, tucked away deep inside the heart of the atom, is a little string that just goes and vibrates at whatever preset vibration that is. It's pure dynamic energy that causes that. Now, if we understand the atomic structure, for every part of solid in an atom, 4 million parts of empty space.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so we don't exist. We barely exist. We're all empty space. The only thing that makes us physical are the electrons. Okay, so there we have it. But now, here's the situation. String theory also says in order for us to exist in our three-dimensional world, there needs to be 7 other dimensions. However, those 7 other dimensions existed before our three-dimensional world, so we're not actually dimensions 1, 2, and 3. We are dimensions 8, 9, and 10. So there goes everybody's ascension theory. We don't ascend any higher. This is the pinnacle of creation. Wait, creation? Yeah, the creation of the whole entire multiverse. These are the physical planes, which cannot exist unless there are these 7 other spatial planes. Wait, 7 is... Isn't that God's number? 7? Yeah, exactly. That's God's number. Man's number is what? 10? Earthly completeness? Ho-ho! Biblical scripture, 10-dimensional. How about that? Plus, there's the 11th dimension of time, which is a variable across all 10 dimensions. So now, if we want to apply fractal science, which says that there's repeating patterns in nature, then in order for our repeating patterns in nature here, the last 3 dimensions, which were part of the creation, there needs to be repeating patterns of life in the other 7 dimensions. And so now we are dealing with interdimensional life forms, which have genetically engineered life on Earth from the time of the Cambrian period. Now think about that. Okay, you guys are in charge of flowers. Well, you just go right back to during the Cambrian period. The reason why these fossils are up on the side of mountains is because they were all underwater first. Huh. Do you know what pill bugs are? Or potato bugs? Those little
they roll up.
Yeah, the roly poly bugs. Some people call those are the last of the trilobites. Once upon a time during the Cambrian period, there were 17,000, I got 2 numbers that all of a sudden came to mind, 17 and 14,000 different species of them, regardless. That's how many different species there was of this one little critter that we have left out of that. From let's say 15,000 to 1. That's the only one that survived since 500 million years ago. What else is around? You see, so there's so much that we don't know. Again, the more we know, the more we don't know, right? So, but here's the thing. When it comes to the scriptures, there's nothing religious about it. It's a 6,000-year history of alien intervention in human affairs. Yep. Now, you brought up the fear factor. The fear factor is included, too. And here's an interesting thing. And so many of the theories, I was thinking, I was contemplating string theory back in the 1980s. I'm not a math. I didn't know enough to try to figure it out mathematically. But I came and theorized that all energy was the same, whether the energy that we released through mental process or the energy that was released in an atomic explosion, all of the energy was the same. Yeah, it's all string. How about that? It took Dr. Mikio Kaku and a team of scientists to start working on it to bring it out and to put it into play. That gives birth to M theory, which is interesting, and then M theory gives birth to superstring, which says it doesn't have to stop at 10 dimensions. It can go on indefinitely. So, which is another whole thing case in itself. But here, let's bring it back down to Earth, where the fear factor comes in. And something that I propose, you know, when we can continue to read Genesis chapter 2, it ends with both the man and woman were naked. Hey, you're with your sweetie. We generally want to be naked. We have more fun that way.
Yeah.
Now, you know, think about it. Think about it. That's what we do. Now, when they eat this proverbial fruit of the tree of life, of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, Eve, who is the creation of, taken from Adam. Adam is directly created by Yahuwah or Yahweh, the creative power of the entire multiverse, not some alien god wannabe. And how we know this is that it was actually created out of the elements, and it was from Yahweh who blew the life into the nostrils.
Yeah.
Yes, and that started the life force there. We are made in God's image, not in the physical. The physical is dictated by the planet. We are made in God's image at the soul level. Our soul is our consciousness, which and is life force. If you had a near-death experience, you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
We know what exists. We hardly know what exists on planet Earth, let alone the rest of the universe. And we haven't even thought about what exists in the other seven dimensions, because we can only theoretically prove that they're there.
Yes.
In fact, we are the babies of creation, of intelligent creation. We are the babies of the children of God. Now, here's the thing. You got to say, okay, where did the evil come in? The evil comes in once this fruit is eaten. Now, it's like the prophecy was, if the day that you eat from this fruit, you're going to die. And so I'm thinking, okay, let's think about our DNA. What makes us die? Well, we run out of telomeres. They're like little plastic ends on your shoelaces, and when they fall off, your shoelaces start to unravel. Of course, most of us don't have shoes that we have shoelaces. We prefer shoes that, you know, have Velcro. But anyway. I was thinking, well, if that's the case, then there had to be something in that fruit which would start the process, because it says that the day of you're eating from it, you will die. But Adam didn't die for 936 years. Could there have been a virus in the fruit? And this is something I proposed to a genetic engineer in Amsterdam, of all places. And I asked her, I said, is there any way of knowing? She had 2 degrees in genetic engineering, and biochemistry. Oh, I can only imagine what project she's working on. But I asked her, is there any way of knowing if something attached itself to our DNA which causes us to die? And she said, I don't know of anything. And this is a gal fresh out of college, just taught by the greatest minds, and she's got her master's degree. She doesn't just have her bachelor's. However, 3 months ago, I read a very interesting thing, and that was that they have found what appears to be a splice mark between our DNA and the telomeres. Ta-da! Could the telomeres have been the virus, which once eaten it, broke our DNA? If you think about connecting our DNA together at the ends, it would look like an infinity sign. And so if it broke the telomere, if it broke the DNA and attached itself to the end, so the DNA couldn't get back together again, and every time the DNA split in half and replicated it, you lose telomeres, and when you ran out of telomeres, your DNA unravels and you die. At a cellular level, basically, when enough cells die, you die. It's just that simple. But, it makes total sense. Now, here's the thing. When they eat the fruit, they all of a sudden realize they're naked, and so they cover themselves. Wait a second, what's going on here? They had a state change, a state of mind happen. Yeah, and then what happens? They hear the voice of Yahweh, and so they go hide themselves. They were struck with fear, and they took flight. Where is the fight or flight response at? In beta.
Yeah.
That is okay. Not a response. Yeah, and so guess what? When we got our telomeres, we also got the beta test of planet Earth, because we were now given that if you can only cause harm to somebody in beta. If you're an alpha, when we're in beta, our brains vibrate between 13 to 35, actually 40 hertz, and then you go into gamma. Trust me, you don't want to go into gamma. You never want to. We don't like being in beta. Because then we have to react as something. And if your brain is vibrating up at 35 hertz per second, you're fighting for your life. If we like to be an alpha, and the reason we like to be an alpha where our brains vibrate between 8 and 12 hertz is because alpha is where we experience love. We're relaxed in alpha. We don't feel like fighting with anybody in alpha. We don't want to fight in alpha. Alpha is where we plan our future. It's where we pray, and it's where we meditate. Yeah. We also pray and meditate in theta, where the brain vibrates from 8 hertz down to 4 hertz. And it's at 7 hertz, and this is interesting. I'm going to match some things up. Keep this in mind. It's at 7 hertz that the hippocampus engages the right hemisphere of the brain, and we become a social consciousness. All science has now determined that all brains that are vibrating at 7 hertz and lower, we can all share each other's thoughts. And you'll have to forgive my puppy. She doesn't want to be in her kennel anymore. We'll deal with that in a second. But anyway, we become a community consciousness, and we know each other's thoughts. We can mentally communicate back and forth, and we are not taught this. No, why?
Everybody vibrating in response to the next. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. You see, it's essentially it's talked about as the 100th monkey response.
Yeah.
It's once the 100th person has it, now it becomes part of society's knowledge, but that's already built in. And it's in theta where the laws of the third dimension, the physical laws of the universe, no longer apply. So we can go backward or forward into time in any dimension, whether it's our physical dimension time stream or any of the other dimensional time streams which exist. We just have to know where to go look.
Yeah.
How much do you know about those other seven dimensions? Yeah, well, me too.
Well, you're talking about like the ultimate plane, the divine plane, the spiritual plane, the mental plane, all the different planes of existence, you know?
Yeah, it's like how much do we actually know about what's... We know they're there based on string theory. It says, hey, these guys have to exist.
Yeah, we just know it's like a domino effect, that they're all affecting one another somehow. It's like, you know, everything is response to the next. And as above, so below, they're all affecting each other.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So now let's go back to the genetic engineers.
Now, do you think that, like in the Book of Enoch, that on top of Mount Hermon, that was a genetic experiment taking place, and those 200 were basically probably like what we call the Draco as well, the Watchers. And, you know, what we believe, you know, in my family that was passed down, is that once that we were created, the Adam, and they saw that divine spark that we had inside us, that then they created these astral guardians to watch over our divine spark. And that's how we get certain gods and goddesses like Diana and these huge gods that were watching over our divine spark, locking down our consciousness, letting us know that we have rulers, our archons, or whatever you want to call them.
Let's take a look at the historical. Well, we're going to look at both the historical and the biblical account, and we'll consider the Book of Enoch too here.
Yeah.
When we look at the biblical account, it starts in Genesis chapter 6. Now, I want to point something out here, and this is important. It is a serpent. It's not talked about what kind of serpent, and it's not a snake, because we know the command in Genesis 3:15, it says, where Yahweh talks to the serpent, he says, because you did this thing, you will crawl on your belly in the dust.
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
So some type of walking humanoid.
Or could it have been a speaking dragon? Because when you go to the Book of Job, Leviathan's a dragon, and he breathes fire. Yeah.
Leviathan was, I think Leviathan is some kind of like space whale dragon beast that came from a black hole or something, you know?
Well, it's an actual dragon. It actually exists. It's there.
I believe
it does exist.
I've talked about Leviathan before, yeah. And Behemoth, I mean, people tried to say that could have been a hippopotamus that they were describing, but I don't think that's I think it was more of some kind of part biological, part AI, part art, like some kind of machine / biological thing.
Do you know what the most deadly animal in Africa is?
The hippo, yeah.
Yeah. I watched a video of a hippo chasing a boat. They were able to get away. I have seen and heard stories where
they are brutal.
Yeah, so they're a threat. Nothing, and interestingly enough, they're related to whales genetically. Yeah, so
and they're prehistoric, man. They're like dinosaurs.
Yeah, they really are. They're one of the few pachyderms we actually have on this planet. But when we go back to who are the genetic engineers, now we got to have a backstory. We have to explain this. And so we get stories of Lemuria and Atlantis, you know, they become part of legend. Here's the thing. We know humans existed before Adam, Cro-Magnon man, Neanderthal man, and the other links back all the way to Lucy on the African plains, if you want to believe the story of uneducated man. And these are all people in the top of their areas of knowledge that are world-renowned, and I call them uneducated, and the reason is because they become so educated and so specific in one area that they become ignorant in every other area of knowledge.
Yeah.
The true genius is the one who can take their findings and assimilate it together and then present a plausible story, one that is most logical and most likely.
Yeah, when share your knowledge, you bring the vibration up of the whole planet, you know?
Now, when we're talking about if we're talking about genetic engineers, then you have to have a head of genetic engineering, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Somebody to oversee the project.
So would that be Semyaza or Azazel? Well,
if we go to the book of Ezekiel, he's given the title Covering Cherub of Eden, and it's talking about the entity that we know as Satan or the devil. Now this isn't some guy in a red suit with a pitchfork. Satan means slanderer. Devil means deceiver. Keep that in mind. We don't know this entity's true name. There are names that we get from the Anunnaki, and then we have the gods throughout. Well, the Anunnaki essentially are the gods of Sumeria, but then we get the Egyptian story, we get the Assyrian story, the Babylonian story, the Greek story, and the Roman story.
Yeah,
it's the same story that's been handed up from generation to generation.
Yeah. Yep.
Yes. So it's the same gods.
And Shiva.
Oh my goodness! I wish we had some time to get into CERN, but you see, here's the thing.
We got to have you back on here because I wanted to bring up CERN as well.
I know we only have a few minutes. I just want to tie this together, and we'll point it to another show that we'll have to do shortly because I'm getting ready to go off the grid this month. I do have time.
We got 5 minutes.
Here's the thing: you have these. Genetic engineers that have been genetic engineering, and let's take the fossil record timeline, they've been genetic engineering life on Earth, coming and going as they needed. They come back, they found out, dang, another meteor hit Earth, wiped out the dinosaurs, we got to re-genetic engineer stuff, we got a different spec from above, whatever the case might be. And they get to the point of where they genetically engineer the prototype of who we are and basically whom we have become, and that would be Cro-Magnon Man, because Cro-Magnon Man vanishes for some reason.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, modern man appears. What's the difference? Well, we don't know. They lived in different time periods. One had the soul of the creator in it. The other did not.
Yeah. Yes. That's what I've been saying that. Yeah. You're right.
Yes. And one had imperfect human DNA with telomeres attached to it. The other did not in the divine design, as we can call it. If our DNA was connected at the ends, every time it would split, there'd be no telomeres to lose. And so it would split perfectly every time, reproducing itself generation after generation after generation after generation. Our body rebuilds itself every 7 years. So depending on how old you are, guess what? You're not the person you think you are. Here's another little factoid. Healthy women are born with approximately 400,000 eggs in their ovaries. Men make sperm continuously as long as they live. And in order for a woman to use all those eggs, passing one a month, she would have to live over 35,000 years, which means that our design does not meet the evolutionary process, because we were meant to populate planets.
Yeah.
You see? Yep. And so it says in Genesis 1:1, Earth was created in the beginning. This is the start of the children of the home of the children of God. And the situation is, it was given to us. If you read what it says in Genesis, the first chapter, where it says, let us create man in our image. Wait, what do you mean create man in our image? They're going to be little gods in the third dimension, and you're going to give them all of our creation, all the things that we worked on? Well, hey, guys, don't feel bad, because some of you guys get to be the watcher, and you... the covering cherub of Eden, who was in charge, you get to watch over the whole thing. How's that? So you can supervise the growth and the development of our children through, and that's where the rebellion came in. Wait a minute, we want our pets back. They just took all the pets from the genetic engineers, and they gave all the pets to who? Oh, the children of God. Think about that. If you lived in a large family and mom and dad brought the baby home and said, okay, let's have all your toys.
Yeah, yeah.
And more than likely, Cro-Magnon Man and Neanderthal Man worshipped the sons of the true God. You see, with the Book of Enoch, the population knew who they were. They were the watchers. They were watching over the development of mankind, and they left their post. And they were thrown into Tartarus, into the pit of the abyss, which CERN will open. And that is a good segue to go into our next show.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
So,
and you know, I was even saying how that even CERN. I had a guest on called Gary Wayne, and you know, I had brought up to him about this ancient Etruscan god that was called CERN. And there's this myth about the wolf god and the stag god, wolf, which is Lupus, and CERN. And how CERN, you know, during the spring equinox, he was the brother of Lupus. And Lupus is struck down by a bolt of lightning from an arrow from the sky. And the next morning, he rises up from the underworld as the sun. And having learned of the death of his brother Lupus, CERN becomes the god of this world and reigns in his place on Earth. And it's like this legend. And it's like there's no mistake that they named their place CERN. And, you know, it's basically talking about how Lupus is slain, you know, during the hunt. And then, you know, CERN is the hunted. And then he's slain by a centaur who gives a bolt of lightning from his bow by Dionysus, who is, you know, and then later on, CERN is later slain in the story as well by Mars, and who's like hunting during the incident. He's slain by the god Mars.
So well, let me put it into realistic context. Revelation chapter 9 is the opening of CERN. And it's connected to an alien plague that comes upon this planet. And it gives a king that comes out of CERN. That king's name is Apollyon. So look up Apollyon, the god Apollyon, who is celebrated throughout antiquity.
Yeah.
And it is the god Shiva, the destroyer.
And we'll pick this up next time.
The book is Letters to Earth. The future is yours. And trust me, we can create our own futures.
Pick up the book, everybody. It's peterkling.com. And find us at themysticalspiral.com. We're going to have Peter Kling on again. It's been a great night. Stay around for the next shows, everybody. Para X Radio is where it's at. Spiral out.